we sort of come back now to this idea of sort of summarizing what is the nature of our experience. So why don't we start taking a look at that and see where that whole chain of thought really takes us in summary.
The normal view of our experience is that I, and when we say I, we mean this body-mind, experiences a world. Nearly every formulation of our experience is conceived in those terms. I, this body-mind, experiences something or someone. I love so-and-so. I see the tree. So-and-so does this. Our experience is conceived as a subject doing or experiencing or knowing an object. So this is considered to be so obviously and fundamentally true as not to need investigation. Any investigation that takes place tends to take place with this as the basic presumption. So before we add anything to that idea, we look at that fundamental idea and just simply measure our current experience with that formulation and say, is this true? Is this a true premise?
Right.
And just the one look at experience shows us that this basic idea, this basic attitude of experience is just so far from the actual reality of our experience. Because if we look at the world, we say, yes, the world is experienced. I experience the world. I'm experiencing this room, the sky, the field. But then, do we not also experience the body? Yes.
Right.
Do we not experience the mind? Yes. It's not the body experiences the world. We, and whatever we are at this stage, we're not saying what we are, but whatever it is that experiences, yes, it experiences the world, but it also experiences this body. Even if we take a look at the visual field now, the body or part of the body is as much a part of the visual world as the carpet and the room and the trees.
Right.
This body, this leg, is not perceiving the
right.
world. The world plus this body
right.
and this mind is being perceived. So whatever it is that we are, whatever it is that experiences or knows experience, is not a body or a mind. The body and the mind are known by it in the same way that the world is known by it.
Right.
So immediately we see that the body-mind is not the subject of experience and the world the object of that experience, but rather I, whatever I am, and let's leave that completely undefined at the moment. We just know that it is something that experiences, something that is conscious. That this I experiences the body, the mind, and the world. So that immediately leaves open the question, what then is this I? Whatever it is, it's what I am, because it's undoubted fact of my experience now that I, whatever I am, I'm experiencing something. We don't even need to know what the nature of that something is at the moment. It may be, for instance, a dream or a hallucination. We're not going so far as to say what it is, but it's something. There is some experience going on, and there is something which we call I, which is experiencing. Now, what is that? If we look at that and try to find what that is, what can we know for sure about it? First of all, if we look at experience, it becomes very clear that there is something which is conscious and that that is what I am, that is what we are. Whatever it is that is hearing these words, that is seeing these sights, that is feeling the temperature of the air, whatever that is, it's conscious.
Right. I exist.
I am, and I am conscious. Hence, it's often called consciousness, that which is conscious. And we are that before we are a body. The body is experienced by that. So it's very clear from looking directly at our experience in this moment that what we are is this knowing, this conscious presence, whatever it is. Once we've established that, we can then go further and say, okay, well, what is this? We know that it is. But what is it? And so we start to look for it. And a very interesting thing happens, because it is our actual experience in this moment that this I is present. That is a direct experience. And yet if we look for it, we find nothing objective. Because if it was anything objective, if it had any qualities of mind or body or whatever those objective qualities were, that would immediately put it on the experienced side. Whatever those qualities were would be experienced.
Because something would be observing it.
Something, which is this observing I. So if we continue to look for it in this way, anything that comes up that says, yes, I am this, it might be a sensation in the body, it might be a whatever it is, we can immediately say, well, hang on a minute, I am seeing that thing, I am conscious of it, I am aware of it. So it immediately puts some distance between this knowing presence and that which is known. So very quickly, we come to these two very clear certainties about what we are. We debunk what turns out to be false certainties about what we are, and we come very clearly to see that we are present, that is undoubted, we are knowing, we are that which knows or experiences, but also that whatever that is has no objective qualities. And that's derived from experience. We've just conducted the experiment, we've just looked at whatever it is, tried to find whatever it is, and seen that it has no objective qualities. So if that is the case, and that is our direct experience in this moment, if that's the case, what makes us so sure, for instance, that it is limited? Anything that's limited, we know that it's limited because we see the end of it. We say, yes, this chair is here, but it's not there. The chair is limited. So if we apply the same criteria to this knowing presence, we've said already that it has no objective qualities. Any limit would be, by definition, an objective quality that we could observe, like the edge of this chair or the end of this sentence. We find no such objective quality. So the idea that I, what we are, is limited, is simply that. It's just an idea that just through very, very simply looking at what we are and sticking very, very closely just to our experience, we find that there's nothing in our experience to validate the belief, the deep-seated belief that we have, that I is limited and therefore personal.